Speaking of pressure, how y'all feel? Because it was kind of, it's a little bit old, but it's kind of not really just yet about the Stephen A. LeBron thing. Like,
oh man,
what's your perspective? I kind of understand both sides a little bit though.
So here's my perspective. Here's my LeBron James perspective on him being a dad. He's a dad, so he has every right to take his son, no matter how old or young he is. I stand on that with that. Now, the reality of it is, LeBron, you put your son in this predicament to be criticized on all levels, whether it's good or bad. So you cannot be upset when somebody is personally going at your son. You said your son was better than most of the players in the NBA. Guess what? I'm going to ask you every time, or I'm going to question, how did you make that statement? You know what I'm saying? Whether he think it's a personal attack just from Stephen A. Smith, I'm not going to say it's personal. Now it's getting personal, but it wasn't personal. It was just, if I'm media, I guess I got to get out. I got to get what the fans want to hear. Everybody wanted to hear, okay, let's talk about Bronny. We don't care you just go 30 points, bro. Let's talk about Bronny. You know what I'm saying? You put your son in that predicament. You said your son was better than most of the players in the NBA. How can you say something like that and it's not showing? So every night, Bronny in the G League, he comes over there, don't play. Well, LeBron, is season about over. What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? What are we doing? Like,
yeah.
I don't – how is he better than all the other NBA players? Like, how? So prove it. Tell me. So LeBron took it personally as a father, which I understand. That's your son. Man, your son could be 50 years old. You gonna still always protect your son. That's your family, you know what I'm saying? But don't put him in that predicament. You know what I'm saying? Don't go tell everybody, yeah, boy, my son to beat everybody ass in the parking at the park, and then you go to the park and niggas trying to fight your son. Now you like, oh, hold on, man. I was just playing. I was just you said, yeah. You know, so that's my perspective on it.
Yeah, so my perspective on it, like I can see the media side, but I think the media, they talk, and Michael Wilbon, he said something today about it. He was like, man, he said, I back LeBron in this whole situation. He said, because the problem I'm having is, like, why are we talking about Bronny like that and we're not talking about SGA? You know what I'm saying? The thing that he's doing. Like, he said, I've had times where he said, I don't care if they say something to me about this. He said, I had times on before the show, ESPN wants us to talk about Bronny. He said, I tell him, hell no, we're not talking about Bronny James. So we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about that. He said, so I get, he said, I kind of get LeBron. I mean, granted, you're going to hype your son up regardless. Like, I don't fault him for that, because if it's my son, I'll hype him too. Hell yeah, he'll do this. I think that the media, they took it and they ran with it and they're taking it literal, like he's better than everybody. I really don't think LeBron thinks that his son is better than most of the players in the NBA. I just think that he's just putting his name, just trying to hype him up because it's his son. But, and then it's like, they harp too much on it. It's like, if he played 3 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Oh, he 3 minutes. He went 1 for 8 and, oh, he's not ready. Duh, motherfucker, we know he's not ready. They just giving him a little playing time just to play. But then when he put up 39 points in the G League, or whatever, y'all don't even want to talk about that, but y'all want to talk about his 2 minutes in the NBA. Y'all harp on he needs to go to the G League. He's doing it in the G League, his 39 points, but then when he gets to the NBA, two minutes, y'all want to dissect that and talk about how not ready he is. And see, I would have a problem with that too. Now, Stephen A., like, he just, now, all that, oh man, I would have swung on LeBron. Man, come on, man. You wasn't a dumb. You wasn't going to do this shit. He was not going to swing on no fucking LeBron. Like, let's be real. He going to get his ass dummied up, man, talking crazy, man. Like,
That was just a counter for the embarrassment that he received by letting LeBron run up on him. Like,
yeah.
He wasn't going to hit him. So it's like, the way LeBron did it, he's embarrassed because he acts like nobody's going to run up on him. And LeBron checked him like, oh, hey, what's up, man? You talking about fun? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I agree with you fully on what you were saying. The only thing I'm going to say is, I hate to say it's a black or white thing. LeBron gave his son privilege of what he's doing right now. You know what I'm saying? If it was somebody white, it wouldn't have been. But it's LeBron. You are supposedly in this GOAT talk, and you're black. You know, normally your kids got to work for what they get. You know what I'm saying? You don't hear about blacks handing down stuff. So, like, LeBron basically told them, if you want to keep me on this team, or if you want me on your team, draft my son. That was basically privilege. So he's going. He has to get the criticism, no matter what. That's his thing. He don't want to sell, but you did it.
Yeah,
that's real. I mean,
so is it?
Go ahead.
No, I'm about to say, I don't know if y'all seen, but after the Grizzly game, he saw the other guy from the other network, Nick Wright from First Things First. He went and dapped him up, gave him a hug, dapped up who was with him and all that. I said, oh yeah, LeBron Petty, boy. He fucked with Nick Wright. He fucked with Nick Wright, but he don't fuck with Stephen A. Because Stephen A be on bullshit. I hate to say it, but he on bullshit. That energy he had for Jason Whitlock, he ain't had that same energy for LeBron. He ain't call him out his name. He ain't do nothing crazy, even after LeBron said what he said.
Yeah, nah, he feel real disrespected what LeBron did. So now it's personal. But even for him to get on and talk about, he was wrong going, look, come on, that's some personal emotions. You know you ain't.
Yeah.
He did say he'd get his ass whooped, but he said he was swinging. I'm like, yeah, you probably.
But nah, he wasn't going. Yeah, but he was talking about something. Somebody had to, as you look at the angle, that can't, like, whoever had that camera, that was pre-planned. And I was like, come on, bro. Like, that shit wasn't pre-planned. Like, come on, man. Like, he just doing too much. Like, you took your L. Hey, whatever the kid, you ain't got to apologize. You ain't got to do nothing. They got my phone number. Man, come on, man. Man, it is what it is, man. You all right. You take it up.
Yeah. Bronny, real quick, we'll move on. Bronny, that 30 he got, was that in the league or was that G League?
No, G League. Yeah, he put up 39. Oh,
okay, yeah. I saw you had them little hot numbers. You know what always threw me off because of the colors and shit, too, but okay, I mean, nice little G League game. You know, like I said, I kind of get both perspectives. Stephen A always going to kind of be the hot topic kind of guy to push the button, controversy, you know, that's the voice he is. And that's how he get all his money. So you want to do that, you want to go at Bronny, cool. Go at Bronny. I don't think Bronny's NBA ready yet either. He might get there. He might step it up. You know, that little flash of 39. Hey, that's a flash for a guy who could possibly hang in this league. Not that, you know, he'll never be a star, but he might could carve out a role. But yeah, Stephen A gonna do that because that's how he makes his money, by being the sensational, you know what I'm saying? He literally lied on the street. I used to go to this Firehouse Subs by the job and go get lunch over there a lot, man. And every day they have it on ESPN. And every time I come in there, I'd be like, hey, y'all can just turn that down. Bro, be messing my lunch up, just screaming the whole damn time. Like, just hollering for no reason. It's just his energy, and that's what he's going to do. And I respect, you know, because we all know, like you said, Eggs, Brown, you know, Bronny was clearly, you know, a nepotism. High, cool. It happens. People do it all the time. He got to catch some of the heat. That's just what it is with it. And Bron being the dad, he got to come step to him. You know, okay, you know, if he felt like it was over the line, it's excessive, you know, and it feel like picking on my son. Nah, at this point, I got to say something because, yeah, there's a lot of people that is like, yeah, Bronny shouldn't be in this position, yada, yada. But they not necessarily riding out on him all the time either. It's just like, we knew it. And then really, if you drop it, it's not really a story anymore. If you don't really talk about it no more, it's not a story. It's not, because he'll just fade to the back. We know at this point, he's not playing for the
league. It's just something to talk about.
Yeah, he's not playing on any regular basis. And yeah, he may get in on some garbage time on 3 minutes. But you're the one keeping it hype and sensationalized on really. He just shut up and the shit. I don't think about Bronny like that. Like, you, because he's just not a factor as of now. And if he steps up and makes himself an actual basketball factor on the Lakers, cool. Let's bring him back to the conversation. So I respect him, you know, stepping to him. And I think he could have let it go.
And then a lot I was thinking the other day, and I was like, maybe this is the NBA basically trying to push itself on getting back into the viewership, because the NBA viewership has been fucked up. Like,
really. Bro, it's been going down bad the last 2-3 years, but it's like real bad. Like, people just waiting for the playoffs.
So I'm like, maybe they just saying let's keep this in the air, so at least we could get somebody talking about it and checking it out. Let's see if they gonna always check out a Lakers game, because maybe Bronny might play. Him and his dad might be on the floor together. But again, yeah, Bron, I respect you as a father, man. You did everything that a father was supposed to do in that situation. But you can't tell everybody at the park, my son could beat everybody's ass. And niggas like your son, don't try to help him. You told everybody, my son could beat y'all ass.
That's what's up, man. Shout out fatherhood, you know what I'm saying? Stephen A, take your lumps. It pays the bills. It is what it is. You're going to get more for it. So, yeah, what it is. Speaking of basketball, shout out to them Blue Devils. You already know what it is.
Yeah, go Duke, man.
I know none of y'all boys.
Banner Boys
gonna beat the shit out of them by 20 yesterday.
Oh,
hey, Marion, real talk. The game was over like the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, nah, that was, man. Y'all beat the hell out of them. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I watched that one. Yeah, I was watching.
Yeah, the game was over the first 3 minutes.
Me, I told him, like, Bama is not going to shoot like that against Duke. Their ass is in trouble.
Hey, Rob, Cooper Flagg hit that, the opening gate, out the gate. He hit that first three to start the game. I was like, man, that's game.
y'all in for a battle next, though. Houston is something serious on defense, boy. They had Tennessee to 8 points, like, until it was like 4 minutes left in the first half, man.
Larion, what's the next topic?
We about it.
You don't want to talk about it, huh?
Nah, what's the next topic? Last time everybody said that was what, a couple years ago?
I didn't say y'all was gonna lose. I said that it's gonna be a battle, because dog, Houston's like the number, like, top three defense in the entire NCAA.
They say that yesterday too.
Oh, here we go. They ain't say nothing.
No.
Y'all was gonna beat Bama. I knew y'all was gonna beat Bama. I knew y'all was gonna beat Bama. I said that they not gonna make 25 threes again. If they made 25 threes,
The game yesterday, did you think the game was gonna be close?
No, I didn't think it was gonna be close. I'm telling you, because I said that they shot lights out the game before. They hit 25 threes. They're not going to be able to duplicate that, bro. That ain't happening. And not against Duke, because Duke winged up. Like, they perimeter defense is elite. They're not going to be able to do that. And that's exactly what happened. They wasn't able to do it. And their ass is in trouble.
Yeah, we got the coach. We got everything.
I knew they was going to win. I didn't think they was going to blow them out, though.
This is one of the better brackets, right? Like, you got chances for what, four number ones, right?
Hey, Rotom,
what's name just won? Auburn just won.
Yeah, the NIL done turned the March Madness thing around. Like, the teams that was upsetting people, like, them best players is on coming off the bench on the good teams now. Like, I think we're not gonna see upsets like that in March Madness no more. The NIL,
the portal and all that, because North Dakota, that Eagle Street, well, that motherfucker that was just putting up numbers like every game, he just hit the portal and went to South Carolina. So all these dudes that was like elite at these G5 schools, they gone.
Yeah, that's dead now.
That shit dead.
Anyway, big Blue Devil energy. They said we picked the wrong coach. Wrong. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the Canes got one of the guys off the staff. Maybe they didn't get that shot.
When that happened, the Duke motion don't stop, bro. Like,
Larion, I'm going to tell you, y'all picked the right coach. North Carolina, we picked the wrong fucking coach. And we gave that bitch an extension.
Hey, I was about to say, That boy done lost 18. That boy lost 20 games this year, and they extended him.
And they gave him a 3-year extension.
Yeah, for what he's done, he need to be fighting.
Man, that's listen. Crazy. They said we'll promise him more NIL money. How the fuck North Carolina
basketball
got NIL together?
They should have hired the other dude. That not Hubert Davis. I can't think. I think his name was, I don't know if it was Sean Miller or somebody. I think he coached at.
North Carolina trying to keep it in the family, but
yeah. No, the other guy. He was a former. No, the other guy was a former North Carolina guy too, and yeah, he was proven. Yeah, he was proven.
Yeah, so I was but wondering, it, like, it why gets would to they a point, Davis. It gets to a point though. Like you ain't got no more coaches left in the family. Like you got to move on from that shit, bro.
Yeah, that's real, man. Yeah, hopefully Jay can get this basketball turned around.
But you know who they got? Hold on, wait. But you know who they got though? That's sitting on as assistant coach in the league right now, Jerry Stackhouse. He with Dallas. Jerry Stackhouse. You could go. Oh, you could go to him. Okay. Yeah, you could grab Jerry Stackhouse.
Well, good luck with that shit.
Yeah, that's
hope y'all stay down. Yeah, hope y'all stay down. And the baseball coach, you got to go to, bro. Go and pack your shit up. This is terrible. We didn't hype
all
season. Shit ass.
That shit so garbage.
Garbage.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's talk some real ball. All right. Put a little break right there. We just kind of go off of X notes. What we got? Let's see. We got the we got a couple of the O-line commits. And yeah, we can just kind of talk spring ball. We had
I'm cooking, so don't mind me.
Yeah, I already know. Chef boy, all right. Yeah, we just had the kid last night, Joel Irvin. And then, was it the week before? We had the Brogdon kid. Is that his last name?
Yeah, Ben Cogdon.
Cogdon.
Yeah. Then we just talk some spring ball.
Yeah, that Urban kid. That kid gonna be good.
Yeah, I've been hearing, man. Like he's underrated. He's only a 3-star.
To me, he's a more athletic. Arnett Cooper, like he got one of those when he block you. Like you always know, you always hear when they like, oh boy, O'Lama want to finish the block, he want to jump on top of you and punch the side. Like he got one of those. Like,
hey, he a legit 6'5", 300.
Yeah, he's big. He's big as hell.
Yeah, he's saying gonna play tackle.
I'm not they're gonna move him on the inside. They'll probably move him on the inside. Like I said, he's probably going to be like Arnaz Cooper replacement, to be honest, because he got one of those mean streets, man, and the kid good, man. He good. When I seen him, I was like, God damn, hold on. It's a big-ass kid. Like,
hey, I don't want to ask on the show, but, hey, you've been out of practice. Is that Samson shit dead?
No, hell no. Samson looked good at some moments. And some moments, he said he going against Bane, or he going against Hayden Lowe. Like, he going against some shit that gonna beat anybody in college football. So Samson, he has his moments. You know what I'm saying? He obviously is taking him a lot longer than we thought. But yeah, he's not dead with him, man.
I respect him from sticking it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Look, he understands, man. Look, listen, when Samson got to Miami, he said he never played a practice against this type of competition. He was like, damn, this is, I'm saying, so it was always going to be a challenge for him.
Right. Because he was a little underweight, and the competition he was playing wasn't up to this level.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I mean, I'd be trying to tell motherfucker, period. If you really want to be that guy, man, you got to beat. You know, you got to beat the man to be the man. So I respect him for hanging in there and not just, you know, running off with, I can start.
That's the thing with him. I guess everybody kind of trying to count him out, but they not taking into account of who he going against. Like he going to get, like the one where he got beat with Bane, he's going against a Bane who's kind of knows this is his money. So Bane is beating everybody.
Go ahead, Rob.
No doubt.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Oh,
26 degrees, Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. Nobody does it like we does it. We're so glad you pulled up to kick it with you. Guys, it's your main man, Larian. Back to toss the spring ball with the whole game. We got everybody here today. My man Turnpike jumped off. Say hello to the people. Turnpike Measy is in the building.
Measy Mees, what it do, man? Another day, man. 26 degrees, back at it, man. Spring edition with the fellas.
Spring balls in the air.
Spring balls in the air, man. We got the real field general X in the building. Holla at him.
Yo, yo, what's good? What's good? We back. You know, we've been chilling, man, but we back, man. Got a lot of information about practice, some recruits, stuff like that. And it's Sunday, man. We chilling on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a chill day, man. Out here, the weather is real nasty. We got D-Rob in the building as well. Chef D, what's good?
What's happening? Glad to be back on with the fellas. You know, got a lot to talk about. Hey, man, let's get it.
That's right, no doubt. Let's jump right into it, man. So we had first week spring practice. Guys took a break. You know, that's how they like to break it up. And now we completed the second week of spring practice. I got some pads on now, right?
Yeah, full pads are on now. We're headed to the third week. We did have Kane's Pro Day. I guess it was something we kind of missed out to talk about.
We can touch on that for sure. I forgot all about Pro Day. Yeah, that just happened.
Yeah, I forgot about that shit too.
Yeah, practice, man. Practice, man, you know, the first couple of days of practice, I wasn't disappointed. I kind of figured, okay, well, you got some new coaches. You know, new coaches gotta adjust first before the players. You know what I'm saying? So it was that. You know what I'm saying? So now practice is far more intense. Like, it's 100%. Like, it's 150% right now. Like, the first again, coaches get noticed. Players get their coaches. So you kind of got players might test the coach, see how far they could get, you know what I'm saying, before the coach get real serious. But now, yeah, that shit gone, man. They out there, and them boys knowing, like, hey, like I said, I remember one practice, man, I heard Coach Heidemann tell a kid, all right, you keep effing around, man. I'm gonna find somebody to play for you. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, I wish all the coaches say shit like
that. Hey, X, there was an NFL.com reporter. He was at the practice, I think. What's today, Sunday? It had to be like Wednesday or something.
Brian Baldinger.
Yeah, he was like, in all his years of covering college and NFL, he was like, that's the best practice he done seen ever.
Yeah, nah. They listen, once Mario started telling everybody get out the hell, get out this motherfucker, and it's just the players and the coaches, it's finna be serious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mario, I gotta give credit to Mario. You know what I'm saying? We talk all the shit about him not, you know, some people talk about he not a good coach, but that was a good strategic move. Like, he let the players relax the first couple of days of practice, and then, you know, once the pads started getting on and they got out, the pro day was over, it was business. It was all business. It wasn't no BS going around. So,
hey, X, how you feel about the new D coordinator? Like, what you been seeing with him? Does he seem, I don't want to put this on him, but like, does he seem like out of place, or like, is he gelling pretty well? Because that's a big step going from Minnesota.
When you look at him, Measy, he looks like he out of place. Just by
that's what I'm saying. That's why I asked for the people. I'm like, everybody thinking like maybe this man might look out of place. He might be out of place. How he look?
Looks like it just from the eye, just from looking at him. You know what I'm saying? But then when he started coaching, if you get closer and start hearing him, listening to him, you take away what he looks like. You say, okay, he kind of sounds like he knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? And then you look at the way the players interact. You're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, it looks like he knows what he's doing, because the players are actually understanding it, buying into what he has. You know what I'm saying? So
because he coaching linebackers too, right?
Yeah, he's the linebacker coach. He's linebacker coach. And yeah, he, you know what I'm saying? He gets in the linebackers and he let them know, this is how we finna play the game. You know what I'm saying? I wish he was our linebacker coach last year, but it's cool.
How the new DBs coaches? The new DB coaches look?
Really, Coach Zach, I like both of them, man. I like them both on and off the field.
They gelling good with the new DC?
Yeah. They gelling good. You know, the one thing I've been seeing a lot is communication, man. It's been a whole lot of good communications from the linebacker to the secondary. When they out there together, it's been some communication. And that was our biggest downfall last season, communicating. You know what I'm saying? The linebackers didn't know what they were doing. Then the DBs didn't know what they were doing. But now, and granted, it's just practice, but the communication level is like, it's high.
I mean, practice where it start, though. And it's hard to have, like, when you bring in a whole new set of defensive coaches, well, two DB coaches and a D coordinator, it's hard to, like, make sure everybody's on the same same language.
And that's the crazy thing, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people try to kind of hate on Marquise Williams, and I'm like, man, Marquise Williams, he's out there, man. He's been a leader. His football IQ is good. He's, you know, he kind of out there letting people know where to get, how to line up and stuff like this. And I'm like, in my head, I'm still like, there's no fucking way he wasn't on the field last year. How the hell he didn't play? Like, come on, you know what I'm saying? But
especially with the DBs we had, safeties we had.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, granted, it is what it is. This year, it just like a whole lot of communication. The DBs, they back selling out to the wide receivers. You know, it ain't just the receivers just kicking ass. The DBs, they kicking ass on plays too, man. So, you know, back to that competition level where every aspect of it, from quarterback to safety to kicker punter, everything is competition. And we trying to get the best players on the field all at one time.
So does it look like a whole new with like, so the scheme and everything, does everything look like totally different?
Defensively, it kind of does, because when they go team, it's basically only two linebackers out there. You know what I'm saying? So when you got two linebackers out there, mostly those two linebackers aren't going to be doing a lot of coverage.
So we're doing like a 4-2-5, basically. That's a base.
Yeah, something like that. Something like 4-2-5. But it won't, like, the linebackers aren't covering as much as they did last season. You know, granted,
that's good.
Yeah, that's great. You're right.
But when they 11 or 11, not doing too much, watch the running back out the backfield, or if tight end is in their area. It's not, you know, last year it was like, okay, man, if we spread them all out, the linebackers gonna run, and the middle of the field is wide open. That's how it was last year. But this year it's nothing like that. Like, the middle of the field, it's almost two linebackers waiting for you to throw that ball in the middle of the field.
Who the top two linebackers out right now?
Man, Chase Smith has been looking good.
Man, I've been hearing about Chase.
Yeah.
Popo doing this thing.
And Pruitt.
Darius Hayes and Chip Wiley, man. Those guys look. I would be a fool to not think those two gonna play. They're our biggest linebackers, and probably I won't say fastest, because Bobby Pruitt, Bobby Washington, probably got too fast. They just look like fucking NFL linebackers right now. Like 6'0", 225, 230.
I saw Popo lost some weight too.
Yeah, Popo, he got down his weight, and that's good. That's the better for them to move. You know what I'm saying? Ain't be expecting guys who had a weight all their career, and then all of a sudden they get to college, you make them add more weight, they're going to start moving different. So you get them down to the weight where they're comfortable to move, guess what? They can move better and play better.
Yeah, I was hearing that Chase was looking good, Popo was looking good, Pruitt, they said Pruitt been really balling, and Hayes says he's developing, man. He's doing well, so. And then I know Heatherman, he said that he looking for physicality and traits when it comes to his linebackers. So we ain't got to expect no more 5'10", 200-pound. You know what I'm saying? Ain't going to be no more of that. So I think that's probably why Chase.
You got what you call it? Mercer, he's probably our shortest, smartest linebacker, but he his IQ is high. He moves so damn good.
Special teams demon.
Yeah, he moves.
Wait, who you said? Like, say it again.
Mercer. Ezekiel Mercer, the linebacker came from Central, the freshman.
Okay.
And he moved so good. And honestly, man, I think Wesley is having another good spring camp. He understands, you know, he's the elder man of the room. So he's having a good camp, you know, and this is the dilemma. Being that it might only be two linebackers on the field at times. Like, that's the dilemma. You know what I'm saying? Now you gotta see. You seeing what shit, who should be on the field? You know what I'm saying? Who should it be? Wesley, Popo, Chase, Bobby Pruitt. You know, now you're saying shit, who should be on the field? You know what I'm saying? So I think he has some good, you know what I'm saying, quality linebackers as far as the physicality, the way they could run. Stuff like that, but you know, he also came from a Big Ten, so you know, he wants Big Ten gonna have a big linebacker who just played down the hill. You know what I'm saying? He may not run fast and all that, but they played down the hill. You know, now he got some athletic linebackers, so I just want to see how that works with the defense this year. So,
man, that's what's up, man. Oh man, so about the DBs, like it seemed like Lucas has been getting all the praise. Like they just super proud of what he doing.
Yeah, man, they saying Lucas gonna be down. They saying he an NFL first round type talent.
Yeah, no, Lucas solidifies himself probably as cornerback one. Damari Brown, he's been looking good out there. Dylan Day is the one who shocked and surprised me.
Hearing Dylan Day name.
He shocked and surprised me the most. Wow.
I've been high on that kid.
Dylan Day has 5 interceptions so far in spring.
How's his speed looking, X?
His speed?
Oh, he's fast as fuck.
Yeah, Dylan Day got some nice speed. I thought he was just one of those players that they recruited from Louisiana to get him here to, you know, to make the former DC happy, but he looks good. And another reason I'm questioning why the fuck wasn't he on the field, or at least, you know, like, come on, man, you got players, you got a player, you know. So he looks good. Brantley, he has his moments where he looks good. Connor finally got back out there. They was really high on him. Like,
I was just about to ask how he looking, because it was high. There was real high on him coming out of the portal.
The first day of practice, he got beat. He got beat bad, and he ended up pulling his hamstring, so he was out for a minute. But he came back, and like I said, he was basically being talked about as cornerback number one. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, like, a lot of people got upset when I put out a tweet about, you know what I'm saying, the cornerbacks and the safeties, and they were like, well, you left O'Connor. I was like, well, how can I put him in? And I ain't seen him in spring. Like, he ain't had no spring practice. No, but now he's back. You just listen, it's going to be a whole lot in that secondary what they could do, man. Like, you could get smart and say, man, you know, we kind of forget Jadais Richards isn't there. You know what I'm saying?
So, man, I forgot all about you get him, smart and say, bro.
Want to put Jadais Richards and we probably put Damari Brown in safety. And guess what? They both corners who could play corner, but they could play safety too. So it's like you could do so much in a DB room this year.
Hey, X, I was going to mention that Damari Brown thing. Is it more likely that he's going to pretty much play safety next season?
I'm not sure, because he wants to be a cornerback, but I know he will play it if they need him to play it. Like,
man, with his size now, he's just looking like a goddamn, like, it's just hard seeing him playing corner. Because he looks like he, like, get down, like, what, like, 215?
Yeah, he's gotten bigger. But he's back moving good. He's back moving well. You know, when he came out of high school, we was excited. But that's, you know, that's going to have to be a talk between him, his family, you know what I'm saying, his representatives and stuff like that, and the coaching staff. Like, you know, what's the best opportunity for me to get on the field? If it's at corner, I'm going to keep working at, you know what I'm saying? If it's at safety, then let's go. You know what I'm saying? You know, at this point in your career, you know, when you playing cornerback, DB, you know, even if you go to the NFL, you're going to have to be able to play multiple positions back there because you just don't know. You know what I'm saying? All that, oh, I'm a corner. All right, well, go be a corner. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, if you getting beat at corner, all right, well, we don't like you at corner. That's it. You know what I'm saying? But if you could go be productive as a safety or a slot guy, whatever, all right, let's go. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, the secondary this year, man, they just – it's a lot of talent. It's a lot of speed. Can't forget about the freshmen out there. Chris Ewald, Amari Wallace, they doing their thing out there. You know, and we keep forgetting, you know, Zaquan Patterson, he's not out there. And O.J. Frey, not out there. So we missing guys, and we still saying, okay, the secondary looks good.
So O.J. out for the spring.
Yeah, I mean – Patterson won't play, do nothing for the spring, which I don't need neither one of them to do anything anyway.
Real Matt, quick, X. Go ahead. Can y'all hear me? My bad. Yeah, I fell out.
Yeah, we can.
I lost my internet for a second. It's storming real bad out this way. So I didn't get to hear everything you say. But you just mentioned some of the freshman stuff. Jabari Anton. Is he out there? He's still not available. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. He probably won't be ready to summertime, possibly fall camp.
So he definitely a red shirt.
Yeah. So you know, a lot like kids like that, man. I be wanting them to come in college and just get healthy. You know what I'm saying? Now, if we recruited you thinking you could play right away, then it's different. But we know you probably most likely wasn't going to play right away.
So but we bought in so many DBs and a porter too, so like there's not going to be no room for him to play. Like it'll be pointless.
Just get healthy, man. And focus on getting healthy. So when you do come back,
right. You'll be ready. Get your film, get in the film room. Yeah, get your body back together. You know, speaking of it's a little off topic, but it's still in that Flowers, right? He would be enrolled.
Yeah, so he commits to he's going to enroll the summer class. So he'll be he's officially a 25. It's between Notre Dame, North Carolina, Florida,
Auburn,
Miami. So you know, I've been. A lot of words. The two teams I was worried about even before he started taking the visits. One was North Carolina. You know, their family went of the trip. Okay. Auburn was another one because I know Auburn just willing to never take it. Yeah, like you know what I'm saying. I'm also now hearing a lot about Notre Dame. I guess Florida's figuring they finna do whatever they could take. So Miami had the last visit. They did enjoy their last visit. I just didn't think that Miami's going to be the landing spot because the kid, he wants to play right away. In Miami, you know what I'm saying? He's not going to play right away in Miami. The only way you play is if you just come in and just special teams. You know what I'm saying? If he's smart, that's what I do. I come be special team guru. But
that's kind of the vibe I was hearing on because like, it's gonna be tough to crack it with all that talent we brought in at DB. Go ahead, bro.
And I think you know him. I think that he should have reclassed sooner if he knew that there was a chance he was gonna reclass. He should have reclassed like during the season. Like I'm gonna go ahead and reclass 2025 because then I think our DB priority probably would have been a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we take all them DBs out of the portal. I don't know if we get the kid from Arizona. I don't think he's on our board. You know what I'm saying?
Is he like a right away, like he's going to get like big time snaps and you can rely on him? Is he that kind of player?
Flowers?
Kick return. I mean, we could use some electricity back there, but. Yeah, like you said, Rob. I think I kind of with him being looking for you know most of these kids out of PT. I was like, yeah, I agree with you. You waited so late in the window that it's like, well, we would like to add you, but hey, you can come on in. But yeah, I think you know UNC for sure would be like a easier road to get on the field quicker.
Now that's the one team I think he goes and play North Carolina, Auburn, I think are the two teams he go and play right away.
Yeah. I feel like if he go to North Carolina, he'll probably be there for a year, then go somewhere else.
And that's what.
So I don't know with Belichick. Nah, I don't know, man. I think a lot of kids want to get coached under Belichick. I think he'll probably stay. Like I'm saying, like I don't know how he expects to go in and get PT. Like you're gonna miss on spring. You basically miss the whole spring. You're probably gonna be there in the summer. So it's like you're not really gonna know the defense like that. You're not really gonna know too much. So it's like, how much playing time do you expect yourself to have?
I just feel like everything is like
it was a mistake.
I feel like he reclassified so late and everything's so rushed. I feel like wherever he goes, he might be there for a year and then start rethinking shit again when he gets his mind together.
You know,
I can see that.
His attitude is, you know, Rob, you from South Florida. You know, the kids down here feel like
they better than
his whole attitude is he think his talent is just better than whatever you got on the roster. You
know, well, we'll certainly see. I just thought about that situation since we were talking about the cornerback room. Go ahead. I since I blinked out for a few minutes, we was talking about DBs. Do you already talk about D line?
The other name I want to speak on in the DB room is man, y'all gonna have to help me out. Number 7, the safety,
Poyer,
Zachariah Poyer.
Yeah, so him, he, you know, if I'm the DC man, I create my defense to keep that kid around the ball. Like I don't really want him on the back end covering too much. I want him close to the ball because I know he's gonna come up and make a tackle. You know what I'm saying? And then,
yeah, I heard he was playing, he was showing good coverage.
Yeah, no, he can cover, but I'm just saying I don't want him back there. I want somebody close to the ball who can tackle. You know, I would rather put other cover guys back there who could cover at the back end who can't tackle good.
So you just think he's more dangerous closer to the line of scrimmage?
Scrimmage closer to the line. You know, so remember when Sean Taylor and all those guys end up leaving and Antrell Roll was still here. Remember they switched Antrell Roll to safety slot. And he was around the ball a lot more than just being a one-on-one outside corner. Like, mm-hmm. I would, you know, do something like that with him, man, send him on some blitz.
Kind of like we did with the last 7.
Yeah.
You know, he started out, man. We thought Cubs finna give us a all ACC season for at the very least. It went south. So I get what you're saying, yeah. You still playing safety, but we can use them in a lot of attacking situations.
So we need another. We need a safety out the portal. Sound like?
Yeah, they'll get one out the portal again. Like I said, I think you know if they smart, they go sit down with Damari Brown and Jadais Richards at the end of spring and say, hey man, listen, we gonna put both of y'all
in safety. Yeah,
we gonna put both of y'all in safety because we got a pretty good deep cornerback room. The safeties behind. Poser and Markeith and Patterson are young. They're true freshmen. We really don't want to put them on the field right now. You know what I'm saying? So we put y'all guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about business and getting your players in the best position to make plays and be prepared for the next level. And that's who I think they should be.
That's what's up. Did you speak on, like, defensive line?
Nah. That D-line is going to be lethal, man.
Hey, they say Blount looking like the real deal and Justin Scott.
Bang back looking like Bang. Justin Scott, he's banged up, so he missed a couple of days. Probably gonna miss the rest of spring. Morton, he's looking good. Hayden Lowe, man, the true freshman. God damn.
He playing for sure.
Shouts out to Jason Taylor for pulling that one off, boy. He liked that. That kid.
Kid looking. You know what I'm saying?
He looked like his second, third year in college already.
Bro. Yeah. Like, bro. And I remember they posted that, this little, you know, like the physique picture they put out of bro. I'm like, yo, fam, this ain't no kid. This is a grown man physically. Hear that so far, you know, and people forget he's 5-star. You know what I'm saying? Like, people act like we won't be pulling nothing. I'm like, sound like we hit on one of these 5-stars, which we have before, man, too.
Listen, we've been hitting on the 5-stars. It's just, you know, I guess they – so people thinking, like, just because they, it's Miami that every five-star supposed to come in and play right away. I mean, shit, we still been recruiting. You know what I'm saying? We still pulling in portal players. Like, motherfucker, we got to wait. Yeah, Hayden Lowe, man, he looks every bit of advertised, man. Listen, another one who's having an excellent account, man, Malik Bryant. He's having another – he's having a tremendous camp. He's now fully at defensive line. He's not doing anything with the linebackers anymore. So he's having a good camp.
X, they said I seen some reports about the transfer we got from Louisiana Tech, David Blade.
So I finally got to look at him close up. He giving those interior guys hell, man. He gave –